Chapter 17 "You seem surprised to see me, Major," Darius murmured satanically. "I can't tell you what a great pleasure it is to meet you again under more favorable terms." He jammed the nasty-looking Luger against Pitt's throat. "Please do not move and force me to kill you prematurely. Your quick and sudden death would only cheat me out of a great deal of personal satisfaction and pleasure. I said I had an account to settle with you and your ugly little friend. Now the hour has arrived to repay my debt for the pain I have suffered at your hands, or, more correctly, feet." Pitt did his damnedest to look casual. "Sorry to disappoint you, but Giordino stayed home this trip." "Then his punishment shall be added to yours." Darius smiled pleasantly, then lowered the gun and calmly shot Pitt in the leg. The sharp crack of the Luger amplified to a thunderclap within the rock-walled cavern. A blow, like the thrust of a red-hot poker, jerked Pitt sideways and knocked him backward 2 steps. Somehow, he never really knew how, he managed to remain on his feet. The 9mm bullet had torn through the fleshy part of his thigh, missing the bone by a scant 1/4 inch and leaving a neat little reddish hole at the entrance and a slightly larger one at the exit. The burning sensation quickly left, and his leg became numb with shock. The real pain, he was sure, would soon follow.
"Come now, Darius," Von Til spoke reprovingly. "Let us not overindulge ourselves in crudity. We have more important matters to resolve before you pursue your little eye-for-an-eye sport. My apologies, Major Pitt, but you must admit, you have only yourself to blame. Your well-aimed kick in such a delicate location will require Darius to limp for at least another 2 weeks."
"I'm only sorry I didn't boot him twice as hard," Pitt said through clenched teeth.
Von Til ignored him. He said to the men in the water, "Drop your diving equipment on the bottom, gentlemen, then climb up on deck. Quickly, we have little time to waste." Thomas raised his mask and threw an if-looks-could-kill stare at Von Til. "We're damn well comfortable right where we are." Von Til shrugged.
"Very well, it seems you need an incentive."
He turned and shouted into the dim shadows of the cavern. "Hans, the lights!" Suddenly a string of overhead floodlights burst on, illuminating the cavern from ceiling to water. Pitt could now see that the submarine was moored to a floating dock that began at a tunnel entrance on the far wall and extended 200 feet across the water like an enormous wooden tongue. The domed ceiling was much lower in this inner cavern as compared to the outer one, but its horizontal area was several times larger. The square footage would have easily equaled a football field. Along the right wall, on an overhanging ledge, 5 men stood in frozen immobility, their hands gripped on leveled machine pistols. Each was dressed in the same style of uniform that Pitt had previously seen on Von Til's chauffeur. There was no mistaking the businesslike manner in which they aimed their weapons at the men in the water.
"I think you'd better do as the man says," Pitt advised.
The mist returned, but the burning lights kept it to a minimum, dooming any chance for escape. Spencer and Hersong climbed aboard the sub first, followed by Knight and Thomas. Woodson, as usual, was last, still clutching his camera in defiance of Von Till's commands. Knight helped Pitt off with his air tank.
"Let me take a look at your leg, sir."
Gently he eased Pitt to a sitting position on the deck. Then he removed the lead weights from his weight belt and wrapped the nylon webbing around Pitt's wound, stemming the blood flow. He looked up at Pitt and grinned.
"It seems as though every time I turn around you're bleeding."
"A messy habit I can't rid myself of lately."
Pitt stopped short. The mist was disappearing again, and the lights had now exposed a second submarine moored on the opposite side of the dock. He surveyed both subs, comparing them. The one he and his men rested on had a flush deck from stem to stern. No projections anywhere. The other sub was different. It still retained its original conning tower, a massive structure that sat on its hull like a distorted half-bubble. 3 men, backs turned to the drama behind them, were busily removing the machine guns from a shattered airplane that sat on the broad deck.
Now I know where the yellow albatross materialized from, said Pitt. An old Japanese I-boat, capable of launching a small scout plane. They haven't been in use since World War II.
Yes, a handsome specimen, Von Till said jovially. I'm honored you could identify it. Sunk by an American destroyer off Iwo Jima in 1945, raised by Minerva Lines in 1951. I've found the combination of submarine and aircraft a most useful method of delivering small cargoes into areas that demand extreme discretion.
A handy toy for also attacking United States airfields and research ships, Pitt added.
Touché, Major, Von Till murmured. At dinner the other night you guessed that the plane came from the sea. You were groping blindly, but you came much closer than you thought.
I can see that now.
Pitt shot a quick glance at the tunnel entrance. Two more guards leaned negligently against the walls of the opening. Their machine pistols hung carelessly over their shoulders. Pitt started to say, "The antique albatross."
"Correction," Von Till interrupted. "A replica of an albatross. For my purposes, a slow by-wing aircraft was the most efficient means of landing and taking off on short fields, dark beaches, or in water beside a ship. The lower wing can, or should I say, could, fold downward in the shape of hydrofoil pontoons. I used the Albatross D3 design with a more modern engine, of course, because the aerodynamics provided the perfect answer to my requirements. And an old shabby-looking airplane would never be suspected of, shall we say, slightly illegal activities. A pity it will never fly again.
Von Till pulled a box of cigarettes from his breast pocket and lit one. Then he went on. My delivery plane was never meant to be armed or flown in combat. It was only after I had no alternative but to assault Brady Field and your precious research ship that I had the guns installed. A drastic move, perhaps, but your Commander Gunn refused to be discouraged by my subtle efforts to sabotage his expedition. There was little to fear from a Sunday swimmer or a diving tourist discovering my little underwater modus operandi. However, a trained ocean scientist, that was something else again. I could not take the risk. The raid was, I am still convinced, an excellent plan. Colonel Lewis would have had no choice but to order the, its name escapes me. Ah, yes, the first attempt to evacuate the Thassos coast if the attack had continued unhindered. You couldn't have known, of course, that the Albatross intended to make a token strafing run against the ship immediately after it neutralized the airfield.
Inopportunely, Major Pitt, you blundered onto the scene and ruined everything.
The fortunes of war, Pitt offered sarcastically.
It is a shame really cannot be here to hear you say that.
Where is good old Peeping Tom Willie? Pitt asked.
Really was the pilot, Von Till answered. When the Albatross crashed into the sea, poor Willie was trapped in the wreckage. He drowned before we could reach him.
Von Till's face abruptly became hard and menacing.
It seems you cost me my chauffeur and pilot, as well as my dog.
Gullibility on Willie's part, Pitt said quietly.
I suckered him with the same old balloon trick that the British used on Kurt Hibbert.
As to the dog, before you sick another one of your hydrophobic bitches on your next unsuspecting dinner guest, I suggest you count your table utensils.
Von Till looked at Pitt curiously for a moment. Then he nodded knowingly.
Remarkable. Quite remarkable. You killed my champion hound with a knife from my own dinner table.
Most ungracious of you, Major, to say the least.
May I ask how you were forewarned?
Premonition, Pitt replied. No more, no less.
You should never have tried to kill me. That was your first mistake. It is a pity your escape from the labyrinth only prolonged your existence by a few hours.
Pitt nonchalantly glanced past Von Till and Darius. The ominous black tunnel was now strangely empty. The two guards had disappeared. Not so the five guards who lined the cavern wall with the machine pistols. They looked as menacing as ever.
"Your reception committee leads me to believe you are expecting us," Pitt murmured quietly.
Of course we were expecting you, Von Till acknowledged matter-of-factly. Good friend Darius here informed me of your impending arrival. The exact time became apparent when the first attempt began acting suspiciously. No captain in his right mind would run his ship that close into the Thassos cliffs.
How many pieces of silver did it take for Darius to turn traitor?
The exact sum wouldn't be of interest to you, said Von Till. The fact is, Darius has been in my employ for 10 years. You might say that our association has proved to be quite mutually rewarding.
Pitt stared into Darius' coal-black eyes. No matter how you slice it, it still adds up to treason.
That's your second mistake, Von Till. Hiring a slimy cockroach of a bastard like Darius, it's bound to backfire.
Darius shivered in involuntary rage. The Luger protruded from his massive fist as if it were a mutant growth extension, and it was aimed unsteadily at Pitt's navel.
Von Till shook his head tiredly. Antagonizing Darius will only make you very, very dead.
What's the difference? You're going to kill all of us anyway.
Premonition again, Major. It serves you well.
Von Till spoke cheerfully. Too cheerfully to suit Pitt.
I hate surprises, Pitt said caustically. How and when?
With a practiced flourish, Von Till pushed back his sleeves and carefully studied the dial of his watch.
In 11 minutes, to be exact, that is all the time I can afford.
Why not now, Darius growled. Why wait? We have other business at hand.
Patience, Darius, Von Till chided. You're not thinking. We can use the extra hands to load our supplies on board the submarine.
He gazed down at Pitt and smiled.
Because of your wound, Major, you're excused. The rest of your men can begin by carrying the equipment you see on the dock into the forward hatch.
We don't work for butchers, Pitt spoke softly and evenly.
Very well, if you insist.
Von Till beamed at Darius.
Shoot away his left ear. With your next bullet, take off his nose. After that his...
Stow it, you sadistic old Hun.
The words fairly spat from Woodson's lips.
We'll load your goddamned pig boat.
They had no choice. Pitt had no choice. He could only sit by helplessly and watch as Spencer and Hersong began attacking a small mountain of wooden crates on the dock and passing them to Knight and Thomas on the sub. Woodson vanished into the hatch. Only his arms, rising occasionally above the deck to receive a crate, revealed his whereabouts. The burning sensation returned to Pitt's leg in earnest now. If he hadn't known better, he'd have sworn that a microscopic little man was running back and forth through his wound with a flamethrower. Once or twice he nearly blacked out. Each time he fought desperately to hold on until the engulfing waves of darkness subsided. On sheer willpower alone, he kept his voice on a conversational tone.
You only answered the when half of my question, Von Till.
Does the method of your demise really matter that much to you?
Like I said, I hate surprises.
Von Till studied Pitt in cold speculation, then he shrugged.
I suppose it does no harm to hide the inevitable.
He paused to check his watch again.
You and your men will be shot. A bit barbaric and ruthless, I grant, but I prefer to think of it as a rather humane death, especially when compared to being buried alive.
Pitt thought for a moment. The loading of supplies and equipment. Those men removing the guns from the wrecked Albatross. It all spells getaway.
You're folding your tent, Von Till, and stealing off into the night.
Then, after you've left, 1 minute, 5 minutes, maybe even half an hour, explosive charges will detonate and seal the cavern under tons of rock, entombing the six of us and erasing all evidence of your underwater smuggling operation.
Von Till looked at Pitt in puzzled suspicion.
Go on, Major. I find your assumptions extremely fascinating.
You're running on a tight time schedule, and you're running scared. Under our feet, beneath this dock, rests 130 tons of heroin, loaded into the sub at Shanghai and carried across the Indian Ocean and through the Suez Canal by a Minerva Lines freighter.
I have to hand it to you. Anyone else would have tried to sneak the heroine into the United States through the back door without fanfare. Not so Bruno Von Till. BBD&O, together with J. Walter Thompson and all the other agencies on Madison Avenue, couldn't have created a more professional job of advertising the Queen Artemisia's illegal cargo and final destination. It was shrewd thinking. Even though Interpol agents have finally unriddled your underwater transportation, it makes little difference. All their eyes are still trained on the Queen Artemisia. Do you follow me? They stood mute and offered no affirmative or negative reply. As Darius has undoubtedly informed you, Pitt went on, Inspectors Akinthus and the Bureau of Narcotics are currently wasting their time and efforts in preparing a trap for the ship when it reaches Chicago. I shudder to think of the four-letter words that will fall on Lake Michigan when they discover nothing but the ship's crew wearing their best actors' smiles and the holds filled with nothing but the cocoa from Ceylon. Pitt paused and shifted his throbbing leg to a more comfortable position. He noticed that Knight and Thomas had joined Woodson below the hatch. Then he continued. It must be a great source of satisfaction to know that Interpol has taken your bait, hook, line, and sinker. They're totally unaware that the sub and the heroine were dropped here last night in order to be transferred to the next Minerva Line ship that happens past, which, by the way, should be the Queen Jocasta, bound for New Orleans with a cargo of Turkish tobacco and due to drop anchor a mile offshore in approximately 10 minutes. That's why you're running scared, Von Till. Time has caught up with you, and you have to gamble on a rendezvous with your ship in broad daylight. You have a vivid imagination, Von Till said contemptuously. But Pitt could see the lines of concern in the old man's face. There is absolutely no way you can prove your wild theories. Pitt ignored his words. He said, Why should I bother? I'm going to die in a few minutes anyway. You have a point, Major, Von Till said slowly. I compliment you. Your perception is excellent. I see no harm in admitting that you are correct in everything you have said, with one exception. The Queen Jocasta will not dock in New Orleans. At the last minute, it will alter course for Galveston, Texas. The three men on the other sub had removed the guns from the Albatross and mysteriously dropped out of sight. Hersong stepped off the dock and passed a crate through the hatch to Spencer, who had now vanished into the hull with Thomas, Knight, and Woodson. Pitt spoke quickly. He needed every second now. One question before Darius gets carried away. Out of old-world courtesy, you can't deny me that. Darius stood there, his evil face masked with murderous intent. He looked like a sadistic kid in a biology class who could hardly wait to dissect a frog. Very well, Major, Von Till said conversationally. What is it? How will the heroin be distributed after it's unloaded in Galveston? Von Till smiled. One of my lesser-known business ventures is a small fleet of fishing boats. Not a financially rewarding venture, I might add, but one that becomes quite useful at times. At the moment, my boats are dropping their nets in the Gulf of Mexico, awaiting my signal. When it comes, they will raise their nets and arrive in port at the exact same moment as the Queen Jocasta. The rest is simple. The ship releases the submarine, which is in turn led by the fishing boats to a cannery. The cargo is then unloaded under the building, and the heroin is packed into cans labeled cat food. I must say it is ironic, all that powder being shipped into every one of your 50 states in cat food cans. The joke is on the Bureau of Narcotics. By the time their suspicions are aroused, it will be too late. The heroin will have already been received and carefully hidden. Admit it, Major. Doesn't the prospect of all that heroin being smelled, swallowed, or injected by millions of your own countrymen shock your holier-than-thou Yankee moral standards? Now Pitt was smiling. It might, if it ever came to pass. Von Till's eyes narrowed. Pitt wasn't acting like a doomed man. Something very definitely was off-key. It will come to pass, I promise you that. Millions of people, Pitt said wonderingly. You stand there with a smile on your ugly mouth and openly boast of the misery you're going to extract from millions of people for a few lousy dollars.
Hardly a few dollars, Major. I think $500 million would be a closer figure.
You'll never live to count it, much less spend it.
And who is going to stop me?
You, Major?
Inspector Zakynthos?
Possibly a lightning bolt from the sky.
Wishing will make it so.
I've had enough of his stupid words, Darius said bitterly. Now let him pay for his arrogance.
The supremely grotesque face was a cloud of black malevolence.
Pitt didn't like the look. He didn't like the look at all.
He could almost feel Darius' finger tighten around the trigger of the Luger.
Come now, Pitt said slowly. Killing me now wouldn't be sporting. My 11 minutes aren't up yet.
Actually, to Pitt, it seemed he had been talking for hours.
Von Till stood silent for several seconds and toyed with his cigarette. Then he said,
There is one point that intrigues me, Major. Why did you kidnap my niece?
Pitt's lips tightened to a sly grin.
To begin with, she's not your niece.
Darius' face went blank.
You could not have known.
I knew, said Pitt evenly.
Unlike you, Von Till, I didn't have the benefit of an informer, but I knew.
All in all, Zakynthos gave it a good try, but his plan was headed for failure right from the start. He hid the genuine niece away in a safe place in England and found another girl who resembled her. They hardly had to be exact doubles, since you hadn't laid eyes on the real Terry in over 20 years.
Zakynthos also carefully planned his Matahari's cross-country vacation to look like nothing more than an innocent surprise holiday visit by a loving relative.
Darius stared at Von Till, his massive jaw seeming to grind Pitt's revelation to pieces. Von Till's expression didn't change. He just slowly nodded in apparent understanding. Too bad, Pitt said, it was all for nothing. You weren't the least bit surprised. Darius had seen to that. At that point, you had two choices. You could either expose the girl as an impostor and throw her out, or you could play along and feed her false information. Quite naturally, your devious mind chose the latter. You were in your element. You felt like a puppeteer pulling strings. You could now play the girl and Darius on the ends against Zakynthos and Zeno in the middle.
An irresistible situation, said Von Till. Do you agree?
You couldn't miss, Pitt went on calmly. From the time of her arrival until Giordino and I grabbed her from the villa, the girl's every move was closely watched by your chauffeur, under the guise of a sort of bodyguard. Willie stuck with her like a leech. It must have been entertaining work, especially when she sunbathed on the beach. At that, her passion for early morning swimming was nothing but a means of making contact with Zakynthos. It was the only opportunity you gave her to pass him information, all of it worthless. How you must have laughed, knowing she was swallowing every bit of crap you fed her. Then something happened, and Zakynthos began to get wise. Arriving late for their rendezvous one morning, he probably spotted Willie lurking in the bushes, both eyes unerringly focused on the girl in her bikini. Zakynthos couldn't help wondering if Willie had been there observing all the other pre-dawn meetings. Suddenly, he saw his well-conceived plan going down the drain. It looked as though you had outsmarted him again.
We could have regained the advantage, Darius sputtered in pure rage, except for you.
Pitt shrugged. Enter our hero, yours truly, who blundered onto the stage, little knowing he would get clawed, beaten, and shot before the final curtain. My life would have been far less complicated if only I'd stayed in bed that morning instead of taking an early swim. When Terry discovered me, I was taking a nap on the tide line. It was still dark, and she mistook me for Zakynthos, thinking one of your men had murdered him. She damn near went into shock when my apparently lifeless body suddenly sat upright and started a light conversation. The pain wave hit him again, and he gripped his leg as if trying to squeeze the agony away. He forced himself to go on, his words strained through gritted teeth. Something had gone very, very wrong. Zakynthos failed to show, and here was a total stranger who seemingly knew nothing about what was going on.
Add to that the staggering odds against an outsider accidentally swimming on that particular deserted beach at 4 a.m, and you have one confused girl. I'll give her credit, she's a fast thinker. Considering the circumstances, she grabbed at the only conclusion open to her. I had to be on your payroll, Von Till. So she went through her carefully rehearsed biography routine and invited me to the villa for dinner, expecting to throw you a curve by innocently introducing you to your own hired man. Von Till smiled. I am afraid you cooked your own goose, my dear Pitt, with your ridiculous tale about being in charge of garbage collecting. She didn't really believe it, but oddly enough, I did. Not as odd as it seems, Pitt said. No trained agent in his right mind would ever use a cover as hokey as that one. You knew that. Besides, you had no cause for alarm. There was no warning from Darius. It was really only a joke on my part, one that backfired with rather painful results. Pitt hesitated, adjusting the belt covering his wound. When I appeared at your door wearing the oak leaves of a major, you immediately figured I was one of Zakynthos' agents, whom he slipped into the act without Darius' knowledge. Unwittingly, I added fuel to your suspicions by damn near coming out and accusing you of engineering the raid on Brady Field. I was getting warm, too warm to suit you, Von Till. Your solution was to play Houdini and make me disappear. The risk of exposure was small. The chances were that my body, or what was left of it, would never be found in the labyrinth. By this time, the girl caught on to the fact that she had made a terrible mistake. I really was an innocent bystander who really happened to be swimming on that particular beach at 4 a.m. It was too late. The damage was done. She could do nothing but stand by helplessly and keep her mouth shut while you disposed of me. Von Till looked thoughtful. I think I see. I see indeed. You still assumed the girl was my niece, and you kidnapped her out of revenge. You're half right, Pitt came back. Information was my other motive. When someone tries to kill me, I like to know why. Except for you, my only source for the answer was the girl. But Colonel Zeno appeared outside the labyrinth and put a crimp in my plan before I had a chance to question her. Even so, as matters turned out, I did Inspector Zakynthos a big favor. I fail to understand, Darius said icily. For Zakynthos, the abduction was made to order. The girl's usefulness was over, and as long as she continued to play the role of your niece, her life wasn't worth 2 cents. Somehow he had to discreetly slip her away from the villa and off the island. As it turned out, I played into his hands and laid her at his feet on a silver platter. However, Zakynthos wasn't out of the woods yet. A new and totally unexpected pair of problems faced him, Giordino and myself. He knew we were out to get your scalp, and as much as he liked the idea, he still had to stop us. Legally, he had no jurisdiction and couldn't detain us by force. So he did the next best thing and asked us to cooperate with Interpol. That way he could watch us like a hawk. You are quite correct, Major. Von Till ran a hand over his hairless pate, wiping the moisture from the gleaming skin. I had every intention of killing the girl. Pitt nodded. I wondered why Zakynthos was so insistent that I keep Terry on board the first attempt. She'd be safe from you, and could keep an eye on Giordino and me. It didn't dawn on me until this morning what game the girl was playing and whose side she was on. Darius stared at Pitt in bleak puzzlement. What goes on here, Major Pitt? You could not possibly have known all this. Nice girls don't carry 25-caliber automatic Mausers taped to their legs, Pitt said. That's a sure sign of a professional. Terry wasn't carrying a gun when I met her on the beach. Giordino discovered it when he snatched her off the couch in the villa's study. Obviously, she feared someone inside, not outside the villa. You are even more perceptive than I gave you credit for, Von Till said bitterly. I may have slightly underestimated you, but it makes little or no difference on the outcome. Only slightly underestimated? Pitt asked, consideringly. I wonder. If I've been wise to the girl's deception, why do you think I'd stand by and allow her to drug the first attempt's radio operator so that she could sneak off a message to Inspector Zakynthos, announcing my intention to explore the cavern? The answer is simple, Von Till said smugly.
You didn't know Darius was working for me. He received the girl's message, but unfortunately for you, neglected to pass it on to Inspector Zakynthos. Face it, Major, you got involved with matters far above your head. Pitt didn't reply immediately. He sat quite still, absorbing the pain that burned in his leg, wondering if now was the right moment. It would be impossible to go on much longer. His vision was beginning to blur around the edges. Yet he couldn't overplay his hand. He turned his head slightly and stared dully up at Darius. The Luger was still aimed at Pitt's navel. This had to be it, he told himself. He hoped to God his timing was right. I agree, he said casually. It just goes to prove you can't win them all, can you, Admiral Hybert? At first, Von Till didn't respond. He stood there, his face without expression. Then the sheer incredibility of Pitt's words began to register. He took a step toward Pitt, his mouth barely moving. What did you call me? He asked in a tight whisper. Admiral Hybert, Pitt repeated. Admiral Erich Hybert, commander of Nazi Germany's transportation fleet, fanatical follower of Adolf Hitler, and brother of Kurt Hybert, the World War I ace. What little color was left drained from his face. You have lost your senses. The U-19, that was your final mistake. Nonsense, utter nonsense. The tight lips spoke low and unbelieving. The model in your study. It struck me as strange at the time. Why would an ex-combat pilot display a replica of a submarine instead of the aircraft he flew during wartime? Pilots are as sentimental about those things as sailors. It didn't figure. The ultimate irony is that Darius, not knowing your true identity, used Inspector Zakynthos' radio to contact the German Naval Archives in Berlin at my request. So, that was what you were after, Darius said, his eyes still watchful. It was handled as a routine inquiry. I asked for a crew list of the U-19. I also contacted an old friend in Munich, a World War I aviation buff, and asked him if he knew of any flyer by the name of Bruno Von Till. The replies were most interesting. A Von Till actually flew for the German Imperial Air Service, all right, but you claimed to have flown with Kurt Hybert in Jasta 73 out of the Xanthi Aerodrome in Macedonia. The real Von Till flew with Jasta 9 in France from the summer of 1917 until the armistice in November of 1918. He never left the Western Front. The next intriguing tidbit was the first name on the U-19's crew roster, a Commander Erich Hybert. Being an inquisitive cuss, I didn't stop there. I radioed Berlin again, this time from the ship, and asked them to send all available information on Erich Hybert. That did it. I couldn't have created a bigger stir with the German authorities if I'd resurrected Hitler, Goering, and Himmler all in one swoop. Sheer babble. He's delirious. The shrewd, calculating Fu Manchu look had returned to the old German's face. No one in their right mind would believe such a ridiculous fairy tale. A model submarine, hardly a valid connection between me and Hybert. I don't have to prove anything. The facts speak for themselves. When Hitler took power, you became his devoted follower. In return for your loyalty, and in recognition of your previous valuable combat experience, he promoted you to Officer Commanding Transportation Fleet, a title you held throughout the war until just before Germany's surrender when you seemed to have vanished. That has nothing to do with me, Von Till said angrily. You're wrong, Pitt returned. The real Bruno Von Till married the daughter of a wealthy Bavarian businessman, who, among other interests, owned a small fleet of merchant ships, ships that sailed under the flag of Greece. Von Till knew a good thing when he saw it. He took out Greek citizenship papers and became managing director of Minerva Lines. Financially, the company was a loser, but he built it into a first-class carrier fleet by smuggling arms and essential war materials into Germany in direct violation of the Versailles Treaty. That's how you knew him. You helped engineer the operation. You both had a good thing going, but Von Till was no mental retard. He figured the Axis powers would lose in the end, so he threw his lot with the Allies early in the war.
You fail to make a connection, Darius said. Pitt had his interest, but it could just as easily fade at any moment. Now comes the good part. Your boss, Darius, isn't a man to leave anything to chance. A less clever man would have simply tried to vanish. Not Admiral Eric Hybert. He was much too cunning. Somehow he made his way through the Allied lines to England, where the bona fide Von Till was living, murdered him, and took his place. How was it possible? Darius demanded. It wasn't only possible, Pitt said to Darius. It was accomplished to the letter. They were both roughly the same size and build. A few alterations here and there by a skilled surgeon, a few gestures and speech mannerisms practiced until perfect, and the man who stands before you became a dead ringer for the original Bruno Von Till. Why not? There were no close friends. Von Till was sort of a loner. No one knew him well. His wife had died childless. There was, however, a nephew who had been born and raised in Greece. Even he didn't catch on to the switch till years later. Then it cost him his life. Mere child's play for a professional killer like Hybert. The nephew and his wife were murdered in a faked boating accident. Terry, their young daughter, was spared. No benevolence on Hybert's part, I assure you. The public image of a considerate and protective granduncle was too good to pass by. Pitt stole another encompassing look at the guards, the tunnel, and the Japanese I-boat. Then he turned back to Von Till. After the switch, smuggling was merely a sideline for you, Hybert. The inventive creation of a submarine attached to the keel of a ship came natural for an old U-boat commander. To the outside world, Hybert, alias Von Till, had it made. Minerva Lines was thriving, the money was rolling in. But you were worried. Things were going too well. The more prominent you became, the better your chances of being exposed. So you moved to Thassos, rebuilt the villa, and played the role of an eccentric millionaire recluse. Business as usual was no problem. A high-power shortwave radio was installed, so you could operate Minerva Lines without ever setting foot on the mainland of Europe. But your perverted past was too strong. You let the company fleet run down to a fourth-rate freight hauler and turned your talents almost entirely to smuggling. Where is all this talk leading? Darius interrupted. The fait accompli. The payoff, Pitt explained. It seems that Admiral Hybert here was conspicuous by his absence at the Nuremberg war trials. His name is right up there next to Martin Bormann on the wanted war criminals list. A real sweetheart, this one. While Eichmann was burning the Jews, Hybert was emptying the POW camps by driving Allied prisoners into the holds of old merchant vessels and setting them adrift in the North Sea, trusting to British and American bombers to do the Nazis' own dirty work. In spite of the fact that he had disappeared at the end of the war, he knew what was in store if he stayed in Germany. He was convicted in absentia by the International Military Tribunal at Nuremberg and sentenced to death. It's a pity he wasn't hung before now. Still, it's better late than never. Pitt had played his last card. There was nothing left for him but to hope. He could stall no more. Well, there you have it. A few facts, a few educated guesses. The story's a bit sketchy, I admit. The Germans could only radio a brief outline of the information they had in their files. The exact details may never become known. No matter. You're a dead man, Hybert. Von Till looked at Pitt in cold speculation. Pay no attention to the Major, Darius. His whole make-believe tale is nothing but the clever stall of a desperate man. Von Till paused, listening. At first the sound was faint. It seemed like an eerie thumping. Then Pitt recognized it as the heavy tread of hobnailed boots moving closer along the wooden deck. The mist was back, and its moist atmosphere cloaked any shape or form, while at the same time it amplified the approaching footsteps into a kettle drum beat. It sounded as though the unseen noisemaker was lifting his feet and dropping them with much more force than necessary. Then a ghostly and faceless figure, dressed in the uniform of Von Till's bodyguards, grew out of the mist. Barely discernible, the figure stopped several feet back and clicked his heels.
The Queen Jocasta has dropped anchor, sir.
The voice spoke in a low, guttural tone. "You idiot!" Von Till snapped, angry at the interruption. "Return to your post!"
"No more delays," Darius snarled. "Just one bullet in the Major's groin so he can linger in agony."
The Luger's muzzle fell to Pitt's lower torso.
"Whatever's fair," Pitt said quietly.
He had a strange, expressionless stare that was more disturbing to Von Till than any show of fear ever could have been. Von Till arched forward in a curt, precise bow.
"I'm sorry, Major," the old German said slowly and very deliberately. "Our interesting little chat has come to an end. Please forgive me if I fail to provide the traditional blindfold and last cigarette."
He said nothing more. The evil, venomous smirk on his face spoke for him, and Pitt braced himself for the almost certain blast from Darius' gun.